the will of God. Now there's two aspects to the will of God. First is the general will of God. And then secondly is the specific or individualized will of God. What I mean by that, the general will of God is something that's true for every person, for every believer, that is, for every Christian, is the general will of God. And we're going to look at some of them tonight. There's lots of them in the Bible. You say, how can I know the will of God? Take the book, okay? Take a concordance and look up the word will and zero in on the will of God, and you'll find passage after passage that refers to the will of God. And that's what I call the general will. It's good for every Christian. Often when we talk about the will of God, what we're dealing with really is the individualized will. What is God's will for me regarding purchasing a car? Ours is, you know, nickel and diming us to death, and should we get a car now? Should we wait and get a car? Or we know we have to get a car. What car should we get? We've seen two or three of them. Lord, what's your will? Or for an individual who wanting to buy a house, for example, you know, and so they pray about God's will. Where do you want us to live? Okay, what side of town or the village, you know? Do you want us to live in Belmont or Belfast? Okay, and so you pray for God's will, and that's the individualized will. That's usually what people are most concerned with, okay? But what the Bible reveals to us is God's general will, the will for everyone. That's what I'm going to look at tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for the leading of your Spirit. You told us that he is given to us as a comforter and as a teacher. And Lord, now we need his work as a teacher. So instruct us, we pray, Father, through your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, he wants us to know his will, first of all. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 22. If you'll find Acts chapter 22. In the process of writing my notes for tonight, I have these scriptures written out. But I like to turn to them so you can turn to them and see them in the Bible. Sometimes for the sake of time, I will just read the scriptures, and people that are truly interested, they'll have a pencil and paper and they'll write them down so they can look them up later. There's different goals that you might have when it comes to preaching in that sense. All right, Acts chapter 22 and verse 14. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth." And so it is that we should know his will. God wants us to know his will. And so when he says that, it becomes obvious, doesn't it, that we can know his will. Okay, not just his will about what car to buy. We can know his will as far as his purposes for our life, his direction for our life, his plans for our life, all that would be involved in so much more under the thought of the will of God. And so he says that he hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will, which means that when we don't know his will because of neglect, then we are not living in the favor of God. And we are living opposed to God's way when we are not seeking to know his will. And, you know, it's an obvious thing for me to say that when it comes to knowing the will of God, that we need to be in the scriptures, we need to be reading, meditating, studying, okay, applying to our life. All of that is what's involved in knowing the will of God. You say, well, wow, that's going to take more than a couple weeks. Yeah, it's called a lifetime.
Amen.
Okay, I mean, it takes a lifetime.
Amen.
But you know, when I got saved at 15, I knew a whole lot more at 21 than when I was 15.
Yes,
and by the time I reached 31, okay, I had increased even more. And so it is a growing, remember Peter, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a growing experience. And so when, you know, we say it takes a lifetime, that doesn't mean that we keep learning and learning and learning, and then God knows we're going to die in a year, and so then in that last year, whammo, now we got it all. No, bit by bit, okay? The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, and in the construction terminology, you know, one block laid on another block, and then you put some mortar in between it to hold them together, okay? And then you're going to put a wall up, so you need to have, what's that called, a plate, Mike? You need a plate because you're going to put a wall up on top of a cement block. Yeah, you put a plate down there, and you probably put some threaded rods down in the top core so you could bolt that plate down, you know, and so you do, so many different things are involved. Boy, you know, be something to be able to go back in time and see what the construction techniques were in putting this building together. Okay, now there's some things that are basic, you know, they used a level. It may not be level anymore with the years of settling, okay, but they used a level, okay? Probably used a plumb bob. And they for sure used a measuring, whether a foot rule or I don't know if they had tape measures. Would they have had? They wouldn't have had roll-out tape measures back then. Wooden folding out ones? Okay, that's what they would have had, you know, and so there's some things basic, but today the techniques would be altogether different. But listen, the end goal is the same, and that's to put up a building that's solid. And so some of the things that we have learned, you know, back when I got saved, we didn't have one of these. Okay. Jody's saying amen. Well, okay, we didn't have a cell phone. I gotta remember, as folks are listening over the internet, we didn't have a cell phone. I'm holding my cell phone up to the congregation. We didn't have a cell phone then, okay? But you know, we read the Bible. And, you know, believe it or not, back then, televisions for the greater part were black and white. Boy, I remember when the first color televisions came along. Whew, that was something, let me tell you. Okay? And I remember many a time my dad put the TV antenna pole, because, see, we didn't have internet. I mean, we didn't have cable or dish. And and so he had a pole, and he put it right outside the living room window. He was no dummy. Okay, put it right outside the living room window, and it went way up above the roof, peak of the roof. And that way, when we wanted to change channels, he would open the window and he'd start turning the pole from inside the house. Okay, he'd start turning the pole because we were going from channel 2 to channel 4, and that meant the antenna had to be put in a different direction. And I see some of the folks are smiling and nodding, all right, and and you needed to turn that antenna a different direction, you see. Now listen, things have changed, haven't they? We have cable and we have dish reception, and so many things are different. But what's the end result? I want to get a TV program.
Yeah.
And so a lot of techniques have changed when it comes to being a Christian and living in society and studying the Bible, but the end result's the same. We want to learn about Jesus Christ. And if we don't accomplish that, it doesn't matter how many devices we have. It doesn't matter how much we can pick up through Google or any other means of getting to information. If we don't grow, we're missing it. And so he wants us to know his will. Now, he also, secondly, he wants us to prove his will. Now, Romans chapter 12, and this is such a familiar portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so we are to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to test it. We need to examine. Okay? This takes some discernment to know the... And did you notice the threefold description of the will of God? It's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Okay? That's the will of God. And that's what he wants us to do, to examine, to test it. Let me tell you about a story here that I read regarding this matter on the will of God. Wadsworth, in one of his poems, tells about a bird that was carried from Norway by a storm down into England. And not fought hard against the winds that were carrying it away from Norway. And finally, it gave up and just went with the winds. And it ended up, as I said, in England. And there on the warm shores of England compared to Norway is where the bird found some lush green meadows and some... protective forests. And so that gives us the idea that when we try to fight against God's will, we're making efforts that will come to nothing. Just like that bird, it had to finally give up and go with the wind. So when we're fighting against God's will, when we're fighting against things God wants, nothing good's going to come of it. But if we will accept God's will, it will be for our good. And we will be taken to blessings and to supply and to goodness. Even though at the time, just like that bird at the time, it didn't seem right being taken away from its home in Norway. But God had a better thing. God had a better thing. And then also... I want you to think about this matter of he wants us to understand his will. Now, obviously, if we're going to try to discern his will, prove it, we're going to come to know it. But he wants us to understand it. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Understanding what the will of the Lord is. This happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to teach us. And that's how it is that we get to understand the will of God. Now listen, don't wait for Sunday morning to try and learn to understand the will of God. You read your Bible through the week. You've got some questions, you've got some things you've wondered about. You pray about it and you read the Word of God and you get out a concordance or a Bible dictionary or some other study book that'll help you to find the scriptures having to do with that subject that you're having questions about, that you're wanting understanding of, okay? And the Holy Spirit will teach you. If we only learn what we learn on a Sunday, we are going to be one ignorant congregation of people. Now, we'll learn much on Sunday. But that's one day. One day out of seven. Okay? And so we need to be sure that we are letting the Holy Spirit teach us. Is it possible that there are some Christians that don't look for the Holy Spirit to teach them? They look for their Sunday school teacher, for their pastor, or their emeritus, or some guy on the TV, or the internet. They look to them to teach them. When the Holy Spirit teaches, now you've got something. Now you've got something. And that's what we want the Holy Spirit to do. We want the Holy Spirit to speak through our pastor to us. All right? And that's what our pastor wants. He wants for the Holy Spirit to teach us. He wants to just be the mouthpiece. Okay? But sometimes I'm afraid we can get things a little out of order. Now, let me go to another one here. He wants us to be complete in his will. Here we're going to go to Colossians. If you want to turn, it's Colossians. And we're looking at Colossians chapter 4. And we're looking at verse 12. Now, the man's name here at the beginning of the verse can be pronounced one of two ways, Epaphras or Epaphras, okay? And you pick whichever way you want. Sometimes I pronounce it one way, and sometimes I pronounce it another way. I don't want to seem biased there, or seem biased. All right, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you. He was a worker, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect. That means complete, okay? Mature, doesn't mean sinless. Stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God doesn't want us just to have it together in some areas of his will for our life. He wants us to have it together in all areas of his will for our life. Let me tell you another story that I read in preparing for this message. And this is about a lady who accused God. Now, I read from Mark chapter 14, where Jesus was in the garden praying. And he prayed to the Father, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So Jesus wanted not his will, but God's will. Years ago, a minister was called to the home of a widow whose teenage daughter, that was the apple of her eye, she told the preacher that at the age of 3, the girl had been very, very sick. And the doctors said she would die. Now, the mother admitted that she had accused God of cruelty and had prayed that he spare her daughter. And she told God, while making that accusation of him being cruel, that she could never trust him again if he did not do as she asked. Now, those are some serious things. And God granted her request. In spite of what the doctors had said, for the next 13 years, she was her mother's pride and joy. But then she began to associate with the wrong people. She went into bad company. And at the age of 17, she got into real trouble and broke her mother's heart. And the tragic end of the story was told to the minister by that weeping woman when he arrived at her home that day. And I'm quoting, "My Janie is dead. She took her own life last night, and I found her in her room this morning." End quote. And after several minutes of convulsive sobbing, she concluded, and again I quote, "Oh, Pastor, how I wish God had taken her when she was 3 years old. How I wish I had yielded to God's will and not insisted on having my own will." Yes. It is so necessary that we are living with the Lord and for the Lord, that when uncertain things come along, that we truly, truly can say to God, "What is your will? What is best?" So often, what we want, we begin to think, surely God would want that because what I want is a good thing. But if it's not God's will, there's things about it that can end up as tragic as in this story. Father in heaven, help us